Hello, this is Michelle Weston with Wellness Learning Curves 2.0, Radio 360, talk radio for women, empowering women all over the world. As usual, I have another interesting, fabulous guest that I met at a summit for women who are entrepreneurs. And when you're an entrepreneur, you are the boss of yourself. So I met Anne-Marie Entner.
Entner, good.
Who's in Pennsylvania, and she is just a dynamo. But it was interesting when we were talking, and she was sharing what's going on with her. So we know that there are many versions of what a chronic condition is. Anne-Marie,
yes.
What are you doing? And then, how's your journey with RA? And I'm going to leave RA because you're going to explain that.
Yes. So absolutely. So I'm going to just say thank you. And like you said, my name is Anne-Marie Entner. I like to say I'm a survivor turned warrior.
Cool.
Yeah. So like you said, I live in Northeast Pennsylvania in the Poconos. If you're from the New York area, you know what it's about.
I always
say my chosen titles are wife, mother, and a grandmother. And I am a life coach, and I work with women that are diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, other autoimmune diseases. However, I was officially diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis 4 years ago, which led me to the work of working with wonderful women in my path. But what my journey up to this present day has taught me is that we are all survivors. And we're all survivors, yes. But what changed me to be a warrior was working on myself and how to change how I see myself and what my thoughts have to do with it. So we all have a hard life, right? We all have a hard life.
Right.
And
we have a different life. Everybody has their stuff, right? We all have our thoughts, right?
I always say hard, but you know, life isn't easy. And mine was a little bit harder than others, I like to say. But that's my perspective. But once I got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, I actually learned what being a warrior meant and how to fight the life that I wanted.
I love that. You know, for people with chronic conditions to hear going from survivor to warrior is a great image.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Especially with women, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, women, we tend to just, I have this, what I like to talk about is how our generation, well, I might be a little tad bit younger, but not so much. You know, we grew up in the suck it up buttercup lifestyle. You know, our parents taught us to trudge through. And I don't like that. I don't like that we have to suck it up. You know, we had to suck
in
up
what
our diagnosis. Just suck up everything. You know, being women, you know, we have to be the mother, the wife, the organizer, you know, just all the things, you know. And then when we got our disease, we kind of had a, at least for me, when I first got diagnosed, you know, I was like, well, you know, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for a
doctor. And it doesn't have time for you either.
No,
does not have time for us.
No,
it's like,
absolutely.
I'm going to do this anyway, right? I'm going to do this anyway.
I'm coming at you hard. Right? But that's kind of how I looked at it. And I remember thinking it was time to get rid of that mentality of sucking it up and embracing that I had RA. And once I learned to embrace these obstacles that came our way, because they come again, they're coming.
Mm-hmm.
They have a mind of their own.
Unbelievable.
And embracing it and learning that, you know, we aren't our conditions and we get to choose how we want to live with it. You know, I thought once I got diagnosed, I was never going to be able to play with my grandchildren anymore.
Oh.
And when I tell you, they are the light of my life. They, you know, being a mother was wonderful, but being a grandmother just is a whole different realm.
Well, you get to go home at the end of the day, which is great.
True, but I take them a lot.
Oh, do you? You steal them.
You steal.
Yeah, you steal the kids.
I need to feel, you know, and I think there's that part of, I also didn't have grandparents, so I do enjoy having them.
Okay.
But I never would. And this is like a new look or image that we can all have. They had offer, you know, spring break, New York and New Jersey head off, right? I live in Pennsylvania. They do not get off that week.
So of course,
they had me and everything that at our disposal. And they wanted to go to a trampoline park.
Really?
And I was like, okay, let's go. And they're like, grandma, are you going to do it too? Because I am the fun grandma, or I like to be the fun grandma, right? Like, so, you know, twerk, learning how to twerk was fun. They gave me that lesson. And
I love it.
we went to this trampoline park, you know, and if you have RA or any autoimmune disease, you know, they kind of poo-poo that kind of look, like, don't go there, you could get hurt. But I went anyway. We were there for 3 hours.
Wow.
And in those 3 hours, I started off slow.
Okay.
Just jumping slow.
You know,
and
what?
By the end of that, I was jumping, doing, you know, splits in the air and feeling for myself, just feeling all of me. And, you know, that's been kind of my journey with RA.
I love that.
I went very slow, and now I'm jumping and wanting to share the good points of how it taught me to live. Having rheumatoid arthritis taught me to live life, not be a participant in the woe is me, I have a disease.
Yeah. Or be the person who is the audience and not the participant as well.
Oh, I am such a participant. And that's what RA taught me. It taught me to jump into life and jump in slow, dip your feet in. And now they're just jumping everywhere.
You know? Did it come as a surprise? I mean, were there things that led up to it that you missed or that you noticed?
There's things that I noticed. Okay. So I played sports. I was a kid, you know, I grew up out in Long Island. I was on a traveling sports team all over Long Island and parts of New Jersey, a little bit, and up to New Hampshire. So those summers were a lot of, you know, playing softball. And, you know, I had a brother that taught me that if you didn't play hard, if you didn't come home with your uniform green and dirty. So I broke a lot of fingers.
Wow.
Jammed a lot of toes, hurt my knees. So at 50, you know, I'm finally got the hard pain that you have with RA. But at 50, you know, you're like, well, why not? It is my turn to have my form of, you know, my bones are reacting to. I have arthritis now, which always goes back to what we all think. Arthritis is just our bones. You know, rheumatoid arthritis is just our bones. But I did. I had a lot. I had it for 10 years prior. I had 10 years prior to being diagnosed, all these, the swelling, the inflammation, the pain, the chronic pain, the brain fog, all of it. I had all of it and never took notice because I grew up in the generation
of where you suck it up.
Suck it up, buttercup. And, you know, again, you know, the fear of hearing that diagnosis, you know, we had discussed about fear, you know, fear. You know, we hear these thoughts, you know, you have an autoimmune disease and it has X, Y, and Z name.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
My only thought of what rheumatoid arthritis was, you know, the people that had deformed fingers and hands and they were in wheelchairs and, you know, that was it, you know, their lives were over. And that's what I imagined immediately. And that spiral of fear was just so great. You know, and the best part about all of this is that I went there, but I was going through getting certified to be a life coach. And I had that extra support from my people in my group telling me your circumstance is you have rheumatoid arthritis, but your thoughts are just debilitating you, you know, and
it happens, right? It happens. We have that little pity party, especially at the beginning.
Yes.
And we all do. I don't expect people not to, but then how long will the pity party go on?
Right. And that's where I like to teach, you know, when you feel your feelings and those thoughts turn into feelings, right? How they can be your best asset after getting a diagnosis. Because it's the bottom you can possibly be in those thoughts. And we have a choice. Do we stay in those thoughts or do we take those thoughts, change them, and change our actions and reactions to being diagnosed?
That's a very good piece of advice. You know, it is. The actions and reactions are what I've had to work with my autoimmune disease, because you live in a fear of drop foot and tripping and things like that, or having an accident. And you're just like, how do I. And feeling the feelings is also really important.
I think it's, if not the most, as far as I'm concerned, that's my opinion, because when you don't feel your feelings, you're letting it eat at you. And that to me, I mean, I don't go into the whole with a lot of people, but I do believe I've had traumas in my life and I stuck a lot of those traumas. I pushed very down low. And I believe that's where my RA came from.
Well, it lives somewhere, right?
Right. I believe that, you know, me not dealing with all my traumas has led me to this again, which also led me to heal those traumas.
Yeah. So, and that's important.
Again, what RA has given me is nothing compared to what it's taken back. You know, like there's so much more that I've gained from getting it than, or, you know, the moment that I have it, I should say, that I had before. It's been a great journey for me. And I don't have to live again in that world of woe.
You know? And we choose. Everyone has the ability to make a choice, you know? And some of us snap back faster in sometimes in different areas, and some of us don't snap back, and some snap back completely. They just too bad. So
that was the benefit of, you know, when you're going through life coach school, you have to have a coach. And you know, that's even today I have my own coach. It's still just because I understand these thoughts and I know how they work, you know, doesn't mean I don't get stuck in my own thought spiral, you know, and you know, for me, it was the best thing I ever did was to get a coach. I mean, I had done years of therapy and I understood all of it, but I didn't know how to move forward from it. And I believe that was the gift of getting a coach that I gave myself.
And people, it's important to understand what is a coach as opposed to a therapist, a psychologist, psychiatrist. Yeah. We are not there to do that at all. We're there to help you with very powerful questions, tap into yourself. And I always am glad when people are surprised at what they know or what they can do. When you're working with them, it's like, wow, I can do that.
It's just a seed that we get to plant. We see the potential and we plant the seed with a one or two word question, you know, like why or how come or what if, you know, those little, and it's planted. And sometimes we don't hear from them for weeks later that planted seed has taken root. And that is the journey of being a coach that I love. And I get to see the seed bloom. Some bloom quicker, some take longer, some of their leaves fall off, they just, you know, we need to water them, you know.
Exactly. But if you want the plants and the flowers and the trees to grow, you got to take care of them. So that is
pour into them. Got to pour. Oops.
And that's really wild that people don't, you know, how do you treat yourself is a lot how you treat others. So if you treat others well, remind yourself living with a chronic condition that you yourself need to be treated with care.
Yes. And, you know, that's, again, always goes back to that pushing through in life. You know, you just go through. I don't think we have to go through. I think we get to experience it and then grow from it. You know, I mean, for me, I mean, again, it's just, that's just me. I think all the crap that I've had to deal with once getting diagnosed, you know, I had a lot of care. I had to care for myself first to take care of my father in hospice. And then to take care of my mother. She moved in with me. I still had to care for myself first, you know, and if I didn't take care of me and my autoimmune, I couldn't take care of my mother at the end, you know, and I had to be right in my mind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know what stress can do.
Yes. Yes. With chronic conditions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Especially autoimmune conditions. We, you know, that swelling, that trigger is not our friend.
I went through my mother's last year pain-free.
Wow.
And I was able to have all the good parts of that year. You know, I got to help her with her pain. I got to, you know, be fully present because I did the work. I did the work. And I'm not saying, when I say pain-free, I mean, I wasn't crawling up the stairs. You know, we always have, with our diseases, we have pain. And of course, our tolerance is different for each person. But yeah, you know, I might have tweaked what felt like to somebody else as an ankle tweak. And to me, it might have been a little bit more. But I was able to live on terms that year that were absolutely amazing. And I'm still getting the gifts from that year of having that time with my mother.
That's amazing. It is.
I'm in her room. My room became her office, is my office.
A lot of people
would be like, how do you do that? I go, this was a gift of taking care of me, that my mother is going to always be with me.
I love that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a great journey for me, not in the beginning, but once I learned how to embrace it.
I think that what you're saying is, in talking to you, a lot of people don't embrace it. You know, like you, a lot of, you know, cancer lives in all of us. It just doesn't show up. It just doesn't show up in most of us, thankfully. But, you know, I think that for me, you know, I was off balance and working much too much and didn't have a personal life. And I sort of was taken out of the game to rebalance.
Right. I have this. I should have pulled it up before we got on here. It was about embracing life as it is.
Because embracing, you know, to do that, to really say, I'm going, it's like me with 24 years of this. At this point, I know what it is for me. And I don't get a lot of surprises if I get a symptom, an exacerbation, the symptoms, right. I know they're not, thank goodness, they're not new symptoms.
Right. So yeah, absolutely. So here it is. This is kind of what I've been living by. Change, getting a diagnosis is change. And I love this. Change is the essence of life. Be willing to surrender what you are for what you could become. And getting arthritis, I became so much more.
Wow.
Yes.
I like that. That's a good one.
Yeah. And I heard someone say it and I had to look it up and I forget who wrote it. Somebody wrote it. I don't know, but it
sounds very Joseph Campbell, but
him. It was just something. Yeah. And we tend to, in anything in life, when we get something hard to digest, doesn't matter what it is, we don't embrace it. We fear it and we want to run from it.
Yeah.
And instead it still follows us.
Yeah. And if you run from it, it just follows you gets ahead of you. Boo.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's what happens. What I've noticed, you know, and you go on all these forums on Facebook and you read what they say, you could see a lot of the fear glaring through what they write. And you can see that some of them have just stopped living and that their disease is so much ahead of them that they can't even see that they need to just stop. And I don't even want to say accept. I think it's just stop. Just stop and embrace what you have in the moment to figure what's next.
Yep. And listen, some people are quicker at it and some people are slower.
Absolutely. I would say that for years I was one of the slow people. and when I got diagnosed, I was one of the people that was just kind of going through the motions and figured it out. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's, you know, once again, I was blessed. I'm just getting certified. So as a coach,
to give back, you know, as a life coach, which is your specialty, to be able to live your life with a chronic condition is a big deal, but it's your life.
Right.
It doesn't say my life is a chronic condition.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and that's that I have a, like, and everybody likes to, you know, like I started it off with my name is, right. Did I know I started with that? And I have chosen things in my life that I am. But I am a life coach today that I get to give back. To give back. And that to me, again, a gift that I was able to give myself and to acknowledge that there's so many women, and I mean women. I mean, I know there's men out there too, but the women today, and I'm certainly hoping that our generations that are coming up here see what we're foraging, like that we're trying to make this path through, that it is good to acknowledge. It is good to fight, but not fight to hinder, you know, and I would say fighting to hinder would be just to like suck it up under the carpet. I'm not letting it get to me. You know, feel those feelings, move forward, get a grip on what's going on, and then find the solution. Because there's always a solution. Most of the time, it's not what we want to hear.
Right. Well, who does? You know, who wants to hear? Right.
Absolutely not. But, you know, with being a coach, you know, we get to ask those questions so much gentle, so much with love and compassion and grace and no judgment, and holding them with such love, you know, that it's a great feeling, especially when you've received it and being able to give it back. And I know you understand that as well.
Yeah.
There's that, you know, being able to give back, and you've been in their shoes.
Yeah. And for me, being able to teach people, you know, how to be well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. How are you well? You know, I have a member of my family who doesn't understand when I say I'm fine.
Right.
It's over 2 decades.
Right.
I am fine.
Yeah.
I don't have a wheelchair. I don't have a walker or a cane. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of the things. I'm not bedridden. You know what? I'm fine.
And, you know, would you say that you're fine because you took care of your mental part of it all? That your mindset, right?
Yeah. And you're also fine because, you know what? I know what the symptoms are.
Right.
I know, I recognize them. And as I said, I haven't gone forward and gotten sicker, gotten more symptoms. I have been able to hold my own. And I think that that was a choice. I think that I looked for a nutritionist. I think that I looked for a way to exercise that I would enjoy. Because, you know, physical activities, everyone needs to move. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was not loving moving at the gym. So that was not my thing. But I had to find something, because with a lot of patients, you need core strength. And right? I mean, getting up and down and so forth. So I fell in love, just so happens, with Pilates. And and I have to be on a machine, because for me, I need the springs. I need the pulleys because they help my leg, my drop foot. But finding those things, becoming a health and wellness coach, getting my master's, these were big steps in life.
Yes.
I came from theater into fashion and magazines, and now I work in healthcare.
Well,
I mean, you don't know.
No one doesn't know. And you know what? These autoimmune chronic diseases are so, they don't care who you are or where you're coming from, you know? And as humans, we get to decide how we want to live with it. We all have a path, and you chose to, again, and I look at me, that chose to figure a way to live with it. And still enjoy life, because what's the alternative?
Well, it took me a long time. I'm never going to say, you know, but I love how quickly you embraced and learned, because there's hopefully the place in your life when you're diagnosed, you're strong. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And going from a survivor to a warrior, as you said, is a choice. You know, you can be the victim forever. And I was scared. I was scared because I wasn't married then. And I had to leave my job because of the stress and the long hours. And I really didn't know what the heck I would do. So it took a long time, longer than I would have liked to, you know, coulda, woulda, shoulda. So you can't live backwards.
No.
Right.
I mean, our minds like to go backwards, but we figure out how to go forward. And you did. I did. I mean, and that's the gift that we, or the example we get to share.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I love that we get to do that. And we do it with such passion.
Yeah. And people are, you know, I think we have the gift of being an example, a positive example of this is how you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good thing.
And we're not perfect at it.
Mm-mm.
We are not perfect at it by any means. We are not perfect at it. You know, I mean, please.
I don't get an A in everything, right? I do not get an A in everything.
I mean, I'm sure when you were first diagnosed, probably no different than me, you spent a lot of hours crying. Right?
Scared, really scared. And
that's how it came out. And you know, again, you know, I was very blessed. I have a husband who is extremely supportive. And my husband's also,
Knock on all the wood.
But he, you know, I really believe, you know, that things are put in our path for a purpose. And My husband works in the health field, you know, and he was able, when I heard, and I didn't find out by a doctor, I had had foot surgery. And I was training for a half marathon. I was on this journey of being, you know, this new health kick I was on and, you know, turning my life over, you know, and, you know, this is life and this is wonderful. And I had foot surgery thinking like, well, you know, I've got this bone spur and I'll fix my bunion and it'll all be great. And they took out a nodule. Now, in order to have a nodule, right, they thought it was just fascia over my bone spur, and it was a nodule. And for you to have a nodule, you've had it quite some time and very active.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I had this surgery on, you know, and I had the stitches out, and then I, you know, they wanted me to see a specialist, and because I was having all this arthritis pain, and my doctors wanted me to see rheumatoid. So I, the rheumatologist, I had been stitches taken out from my surgery on a Monday. Tuesday, I got a call from the pathologist telling me I had a nodule at like 8 o'clock at night and did a big freak because, you know, you
don't. Because it's 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's 8 o'clock at night and you're getting a call from the pathologist. And I thought they would just go, I'm like, oh, it's, you know, it's my doctor's office confirming for tomorrow's appointment, you know, for them to tell me that, you know, you're full of SO, you know, full of BS. There's nothing wrong with you and get on with your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting hit with that the night before an appointment, I went through all the emotions of fear, you know, yeah. You know, to, I can't believe it's too low, you know, I'm fighting it to like, oh, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. I mean, just all over the place. But my husband in that immediate moment, I did not even know because I was in my own world, went online. And because of, he knows his contacts working in the medical field, he know what doctors
good
I was going to go to if this doctor I was going to the next day. Mm-hmm. Which was a rheumatologist, was not going to be aggressive, because I'm all about aggressive.
Me too.
And he says, and if I don't like him, we're going to the Mayo Clinic. Like, he was like already on it.
Wow.
And, you know, that was his strength and that was my gift. And I believe once again, things are put in our path for a purpose. He was my strength those first few weeks because I did not understand it at all. The medications, right?
Yeah.
The medications that, you know,
so many, now you, like, what the heck is that about?
Well, crazy. No, exactly. You know, 7 medications later, I'm finally on one that's working.
Yeah.
You know, I was not one of those ones that got on methotrexate and it worked.
Okay.
Yeah. I was one of those ones that skipped that because I had, you know, I have fatty liver disease, which I found that all out during this process.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You know, so I learned to, in that moment, like, he had to take control for me. And thank God I had him. But then once again, something was put in our path. What was that happened in December of 19?
Oh, 2019. Three months later,
I can't even go to a doctor's.
Yep.
You know, now they're taking me off the medication that they got me on. And, you know, just talk about a whole new level of fear.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Wow. And was that because it was infusions that they took you off of it?
No. I couldn't do it because of my liver disease, but they put me on Enbrel. I had like right at the beginning of being first diagnosed, I had so many reactions to medications, but,
And you have to take those seriously. And
oh, thankfully, absolutely.
Yeah, but thankfully you were sensitive enough. Some people do not pay attention to their bodies and don't listen.
You know, so they put me on it. I mean, this is a funny, but not so funny story. You know, here they put me on this medication. I'm now giving myself a shot for the first time in my life. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, because we, you know, take it. I mean, I could have gone into their office and done it, but, you know, I was like, I'm a big girl now, let's do this. Mm-hmm. And I gave myself a shot. My husband did not do it for me. You know, this is my disease. You know, I own it, you know, and that was part of my first part of embracing it, by the way, you know. So for the first time in my life, I experienced no like pain, and I'm on this drug for 3 months, and COVID hits, and, you know, all these things are going on, and I'm having an allergic reaction. And I finally decide to tell my husband, like, well, you know, I get a little rash. They say you get a rash at the, you know, injection site. And he's like, honey,
that's beyond a rash.
That's not a injection irritation.
That's a reaction to the medication in the injection.
Right. So I was taken off that medication, and of course COVID happened. So my doctor was like, you know, listen, we're just going to do the steroids, and I was on Plaquenil at the same time. So, but yeah, and pain throughout all of it, you know, but what was interesting was, and what made me have to, gave me the opportunity to step into my care, was my husband came to all my doctor's appointments with me. And then I couldn't take him with me to my doctor's appointments anymore.
Oh my goodness.
Because of COVID.
I didn't even think about that. Wow.
I couldn't take him with me. And I remember thinking, how am I going to do this by myself? I did do it. Again, embracing.
Yep.
I embraced it. Yeah. And, you know, I became even more part of my care.
Wow. And you became more of a warrior. It's like, nope, doing this.
Yeah. I know, you walk into an appointment and you hear sometimes which scares you and you don't hear what comes after it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and you also see other people that may have it, and they may be talking about something, and you're just like, do I listen or do I just move?
Right. Well, at that point, it was like one person at a time in an office. I mean, it was hard. And I had to ask him all these questions, and I had them written down because I was like, I was afraid I wasn't going to remember.
Sure. But that was a good idea. I mean, thankfully you did. Whether you thought about that or your husband said, write them down, because people don't. They think, oh, I'll remember. No, you won't. Because when we get diagnosed, when it's about our health, we have a tendency to stop hearing, not listening. I don't think it's listening. I think we stop hearing suddenly, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm a 100% on that.
Right? It's like a black hole. It's like you drop in and you're just like, then it just sounds like Charlie Brown with the teacher. Exactly.
Yes. I mean, I will absolutely 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, with these, you know, chronic conditions, you get other issues, as I like to call them. And I was recently just diagnosed with Barrett's esophagus.
I have Barrett's.
I know you do. And I found out after that.
Oh my God.
And I'm finding out how many people with chronic conditions.
Isn't that interesting? I know. It's so weird. It's like, why do we have this? Right?
Exactly. I'm like, it reminds us of how we're just not a unicorn.
Yeah, I'd like to be a unicorn, but yeah.
Yes, me too. A pretty shiny one, you know, that flies, but pretty, you know. But yeah, but we are not. We are not unique to this. We all get it at different stages, you know, but oh my gosh. And my girlfriend too, she's got Hashimoto's.
Oh, that's a rare one. That's a more rare one. Yeah.
All right. So here we are.
More than you think, but Hashimoto's. Right. Yeah.
Mm. Right, so here we are. We're sitting and we're at New Year's. Eating dinner, and she's like, oh, I can't have that. Mind you, we both go to the same, you know, gastroenterologist, which I think is hysterical, you know, because I feel like I've paved us to find all the good doctors in our area. Which is not in Pennsylvania.
Really? Oh, you're funny.
Not in the Pocono area. Just going to share that.
No.
Here we are sitting dinner. She's like, oh, I can't have that. I go, oh, yeah, me too. I can't eat that. And I can't eat that anymore. And she's like, well, you know, Dr. Rao said, you know, when I went in for my endoscopy, I have Barrett's esophagus. And I'm like, and I went WTF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would have done WTF too.
It's like, me too. And, you know, it's just so funny that, you know, as much as we're friends, our friends are, again, we share, but we've now come to this point like, oh, we just got it. It's another thing. Click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
just check it. That's what, and I will tell you, I love being able to also check things as not. So sometimes, because I blame MS for everything, you know, I mean, any any symptom, it's like, oh, this must be MS. Sometimes it's not. And you have a tendency to do that. And it's a very, very funny kind of, you know, and sometimes my MS neurologist goes, nothing to do with the MS.
Right. Like,
really? I don't believe
it. But I want it to be because it makes more sense in my head.
What category, right? Thank you. It's under that category, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, exactly. I mean, of course, you know, as we get older, we have the women's stuff that happens with menopause, and you like to blame, you know, I blamed what had happened to me. You're like, oh, I just can't do any of that anymore. Thank you, RA. Well, it has nothing to do with the RA. It has to maybe the medications and going through menopause. Mm-hmm. But it was much easier to be like, well, yeah, that this isn't happening because, you know, being intimate changed because, you know, I have RA.
and that's an interesting thing, like intimacy, you know,
right?
And some medications make you not as interested and
or drier in that area. Or...
Yeah. Yeah. And lots of like, you know, and I like intimacy. I like it a lot, especially with my husband, you know?
Well,
and
what's so not to
suddenly,
like?
yeah, really. And so suddenly I was like, you know what? I'm just not as interested. So we had to work the medication and see what balance we could find because who wants to be not interested?
And then there's that, you know, I mean, I'm very good at talking to my husband about that. But how many women out there aren't comfortable about talking about that?
Sure. Right. And there's ways to help yourself with that.
Right. You
know? I mean, we had somebody at our summit who has tools, great strategies for making sure it's easier and
Right. And that's something I get to work through also with, because I've done it myself. It's something that I know I get to help other women. Like, yeah, there's other ways to be intimate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a solution if you want a solution. Instead of being the problem, let's be the solution, you know?
And that's a hard pill to swallow. Like,
oh, it's a really hard pill to swallow, especially when you want to blame it on everything else but your thoughts about it.
I know. It is, you know, and everything sort of scares you, you know? You know, you get concerned. I didn't have the challenges that you have. My mom had challenges with myasthenia gravis. With foods and certain things, and she had Barrett's esophagitis as well. Mm-hmm. My sister has Barrett's esophagitis as well.
Wow.
But it's interesting to see what is comfortable, and you have to learn that, you know, you have to really learn
exactly. Well, you have to, and I think that goes back to knowing your body.
Yeah.
And what feels comfortable in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And and so, you know, spicy things for you and hot things, it's not a good idea because it just stirs things up.
It stirs the pot. So I like garlic a lot.
Yeah.
I can really only have so much before it affects me.
Okay.
And it's not like the effect that you're going to think. It doesn't bother my esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
The other end.
Isn't that interesting? It's so bizarre. And you go, why is this my reaction? I don't know. Why is it your reaction?
You don't know because, you know, so my sister also has an autoimmune disease and she has autoimmune hepatitis.
Too. Yeah. And so my sister has fibromyalgia.
Right. So
there you go.
Well, you'll have, you know, it's a lot in my family, apparently, as I'm learning, we all have some sort of autoimmune disease. I mean, I am seropositive though. With mine, I don't know about theirs. I know there's a difference between being seropositive and seronegative, but you know, there's, I forget where I was going with that because I went on a whole nother tangent in my head. I hate when that, and that's the brain fog.
Brain fog, yes. Brain
fog. So real.
Right? I always say, with MS, I always go, wait a second. I the Rolodex is not spinning. Right. Just, I'll come back. I'll tell you the word in a second.
It's, you know, you get very aphasic and you're like, duh. I know I was going, I had a point where did it go? And people, you know, they don't, you know, I've gotten better at hiding it. I obviously didn't mind telling you like, oh, there you go. It's here.
You know what? I don't even hide anymore. I really say, you know what? The Rolodex just stopped spinning. So I'll tell you in a second what that is. Hold on. And then suddenly we'll be talking and I'll like blurt out something. I'll go, that was attached to the one before.
Right. Oh, and I know how to do it with my sister because she has an autoimmune disease. I know that much. And I can't remember where I was going with that.
Well, she has hepatitis that she got from, how did she get that from a nail? Nope. Like she stepped on something?
Nope. It's an autoimmune disease. Just like my RA attacks. Well, my RA can attack my liver. It can, you know, it attacks your entire body. Hers specifically just attacks her liver.
Wow. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Just like, you know, Hashimoto's goes towards your,
your
thyroid.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, you know, that's a specific.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, how I started in the beginning was, you know, rheumatoid arthritis. Everybody hears, you just have arthritis.
Yeah. And you understanding know, that because people then poo-poo it and it's just like, right. No. It's not just arthritis. Well, we know arthritis has pain, but then there's another level and
there's some more symptoms,
much more symptoms than just
pain. You know, so like, I have the nodules already. I have nodules in my lungs. Mm. I have, who knows what it's going to bring me down the road, you know?
And what do they do about nodules? How do they handle that?
They just are watching it at the moment. Okay. There's really not a whole lot you can do unless you want to have surgery to take your lung out. And I know they're coming up with new surgeries and such like that. And my husband, like I said, my husband's a respiratory therapist. So he was all over that when that happened. Mm-hmm, he's like, you want a 3D, you want exact measurements, you want, you know, again, people are put in your path for a reason. And I was like, okay, yay me. I will tell you, with each new thing that happens to me, I am less reactive to it opposed to more.
That's nice.
It's more of
You're not flippant with it. You're not like,
no.
You take it easier.
Right. I'm not. It's kind of like, okay, I basically give myself a time frame to feel, oh shit, this is real. And then I don't react afterwards after that, you know, my doctor, so I had that, I heard that first, you got nodules and that was found by a CT accidentally. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Accidentally that found out. And then, which then led me to the doctors wanting me to have, I had gotten sick last summer and I got dragged out on 4th of July, probably the only person that didn't have alcohol poisoning being brought into the emergency room. But, you know, it's just me, you know, I'm here and I'm throwing up and I don't know what's going on. But I ended up having to have from that being brought into the emergency room, having to have an endoscopy. And that's when they found out the Barrett's esophagus.
Esophagitis,
and
of course, yeah.
Yeah. And they said to me, you know, and of course, I don't know anything about it. Right.
Right. So why would we know about
exactly,
these things?
You know,
I don't know what MS was.
I heard of it again, you know, and I think that's where that education comes in. I have to educate myself.
Yep.
And I went and I read it. And of course, you know, I heard a lot of noise. I will say I heard a lot of noise. And again, but my noise, I did hear, you know, this is what you have. It's not as bad as what it could possibly be. And of course, now you ask, you know, what is that?
Yeah. What does that mean?
And I think the way my doctor talks to me, he knows that I'm not straight up. Give it to me, you know, give it to me now. Otherwise, you know, I don't want to be babied. I want to know that. I want to know now and let me figure out how I'm going to handle it in the, you know, after I leave your office.
Seriously. I agree with you.
He says, you know, if we're not careful, you know, this will become precancerous.
Wow.
There's like,
you really have to watch it, but not scare yourself. Right.
Right. And that was the whole thing. I walked out of there going, all right, it's not precancerous. Where before and how most of our brain likes to work. Oh my God, this will be precancerous. You know, you go to that thought process of, oh my God, this is what. And with each new circumstance that happens with having a chronic disease, I have learned how to act and react now.
Explain that. Talk more about that.
In the beginning, how did you act and react? We freaked out. Well, with each new circumstance.
Our eyes got wider and wider. And you stay closer to the bed and your house or apartment.
Right. And what happened was I'm a big journaler. I journal everything. Everything's has to be on paper. And
That's a very good thing to do. Very good. Then I wish I was consistent on that one.
You know, I used to be an every day, or now it's kind of like, oh, I need to write about this and get it off my chest. And then I go back and I read it and I look for the facts.
Okay. I like that because there's the facts and then there's what we decide.
It's the story we tell ourselves.
It's the chatterer.
The chatterer.
You know,
and that's huge. That's one of those things I definitely teach. And a lot of they don't like it. And I'm like, you don't have to just doodle for a while. And then eventually you'll, you know, and that was me, you know. But I go back and I look at our facts. What is a fact? The fact is I got a new diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
That's the fact. Yep. That, and you know, and a lot of times that is my response. Yay me. Something new.
Oh, yeah.
Yay. You know? But I get that choice in that moment to decide how I want to react
mm-hmm.
or not react.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I'm seeing with each one, I am not reacting because I have a practice in play already.
Mm.
And, you know, when you have a practice, because, you know, again, I hate to be the bearer of bad news for people that have an autoimmune disease. You know, your chances of getting a cohort.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's pretty high. Yeah. You know, or some other chronic condition.
Explain for people what a cohort is.
It's, you know, you have someone joining you on your journey.
Yes. 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 Yeah. You're like, oh, I didn't expect you this lifetime. What are you doing here?
Exactly.
Who invited you to my party?
And I really didn't want you here, but hey, yeah. Now that you're here, let's figure this out.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know? So again, I think I was more upset that I, you know, and I'm telling you, in that time frame from when I heard about the nodules in my lungs, the, you know, having, you know, Barrett's esophagus, it was mm-hmm. kind of like, I'm in the hospital going, again, the WETF comes out mm-hmm. of my mouth very
yeah,
simply.
Sure,
you know,
sure, sure.
You know, and I was like, oh, yeah, and it swirled. I'm not going to say that it didn't, you know, and, you know, I know how important our lungs are.
Yeah. Fortunately or unfortunately, right?
Right. So, I had just watched, and I'm just in the process of watching my mother. And I think this is why I reacted a little bit differently. My mother passed of COPD, chronic obstruction pulmonary yeah. disease.
Was she a smoker or it came through something else?
So she was a smoker, but what she got it from was chronic bronchitis again.
Wow.
So hers wasn't like an emphysema kind of deal.
Okay.
It was real. And my husband, who's been a respiratory therapist for 40 years, this was his first time. Again, people, places, I swear, he was placed in my life for a reason, right? he said this was the first time he had ever seen someone just die of the disease.
Wow.
Not pneumonia, not
anything else. It's normally a complication, right? It's normally a complication. Yeah.
Right. He says it was literally from that her lungs gave out.
Yeah, from fighting bronchitis all the time.
And I can remember as a child her having it. I mean, even into being a teenager and a young adult, but yeah, once or twice a year. And she smoked. And of course, back then, you know, you still smoked when you were sick. And, you know, that I was like, all right, you know, you watched it. But, you know, I think that was why I reacted a little bit differently when I got that. But when I got the diagnosis for the Barrett's, again, I walked out saying, well, at least I don't have pre-cancer.
Okay.
You know, so with each one, you get to practice.
Yeah.
You know,
you do
practice. Yeah. You get that practice. I mean, it's not something that we would have practiced with, but I'm grateful that I have the knowledge and to be my first initial support system.
Mm. And it's important to know.
Yeah.
I say that about advocacy. You know, when I'm hired by a client patient, I always say, I'm your patient advocate, but I want you to become mm-hmm. your own advocate. I want you to mm-hmm. understand that doctors have clay feet and they are not, you know, that they're formidable, but they are not undefiable. They are not God.
Right.
They're doctors. And so and that's why you also have to look for the people. Remember, mm-hmm. I think you feel the same way. Look mm-hmm. for doctors that you feel you can have a relationship with and be honest with and not mm-hmm. just sort of like do this and say you're going to be compliant. And then you're just like, ugh, I hate this.
I preach that. I feel like sometimes I can get on a soapbox about how you need to be honest with your doctors and honest and being that you don't, when you have something, you're like, oh, that's really not that important. That's the thing we need to really what you think is minimal may not be. Mm-hmm. I am very honest with my doctors. I mean, all my doctors, from my primary rheumatologist, gastrologist, you know, all of it.
Yep.
All of it, you know. And I, you know, I know my numbers, you know. Some people don't want to know about their numbers. So then that's when you need to rely heavily on your doctors for them to be honest with you as well.
Got it.
You know, some doctors, like I, you know, I watch I've gone to doctor's appointments with my mother-in-law, my mother too, but not to that degree. My mother was kind of a straight shooter, but didn't deal well with it. But my mother-in-law needs to be coddled.
Oh, okay.
And doesn't want to hear, because she doesn't really believe it, you know, what's going on, you know, someone to accept. And that's okay too. I mean, that's, you know, that's who she is, you know, and that's fine. You know, she's got a son that deals with it for her.
She's lucky. She has a advocate.
Yeah. Right. And could not have a better one. But yeah, so you need to find a doctor that's going to be honest with you and be able to convey on your level of acceptance to get their point across of what needs to be taken next.
Yeah. And as I say, and we're talking about this whole interview, we as the patients have a responsibility.
Yes, absolutely. Okay?
The doctor's there for medicine to keep you as they can. But that's guess what? This is your life as Anne-Marie coaches. This is your life.
So I believe, you know, a lot's been taken away from the doctors as medicine changes, times that they're allowed to have with us insurance, with how insurance is kind of based their practices. And, you know, they don't really have their own practice anymore. They're, you know, they're in groups.
A lot of professional groups. Sure.
Right. They don't have, they're not brick and mortar, as I like to call it, their own business, their own practice.
And my father was that when he had three offices in Detroit area and they were his with his partner.
Right. Right. So I love my primary care doctor. She's like, I truly believe she's my buddy. You know, walk in there, we're walking in there, we're dropping all kinds of, you know, bombs to each other. Like, and I've been with her quite a while now. And so she asked me, you know, how you're doing, blah, blah, blah. And I was saying to her about the direction that I'm going with my business. And I said, I said to her, I said, you as a doctor, I said, and maybe I'm overstepping my boundaries. I said, you can't give that full 100% care.
The care has to be coming from the patient too, which most people are just not even aware that.
Right.
Change your diet so you don't get that inflammation. Right.
Right. Right. But I talk about the mental aspect. They don't have time in their practice to go longer than 15 minutes to give them that mental aspect of to give them the like guidance and that's what I do. I'm the mental side. I'm the support. I'm the emotional support that's been taken out of the doctor's hands a long time ago, long time ago. And I asked her because, you know, this is where I wanted to go. And she's like, Anne-Marie, we just do not have the bandwidth.
Nope.
As much as we want to give them that full rounded care and give them the information, we can only stick to this. And I love that she was that honest with me. And it just kind of made my journey of being that support emotional coach even more important to me.
That's nice. Have you found RA groups? Have you found Facebook groups? Have you found sometimes groups online are dangerous?
I think
bariatrics, they suck because most of the people who are online for bariatrics for weight loss are the people who have not complied, who are not doing what is necessary to keep the weight off and to lose the weight at the beginning, but to keep it off, to maintain.
Right. I think what I don't like about I've shared this a lot personally. What I don't like about these Facebook groups is that you're getting regular people like you and me giving medical advice. And I did not go to school for that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important. We have to remember what lane are we in?
Right. You know? And these are just regular people giving their, like, you know, my sister did it to me and I know she did it out of love and, you know, we're siblings, you know, Amber, you need to follow this diet.
No, thank you very much. Go follow your own diet.
and you need to do this. And she did do it out of love. Right. You know, and she had already spent on this journey a little bit longer than I have. So, you know, I get where she was coming from, but on these forums, they're yelling at you for not following. Well, you need to be on the, you know, paleo autoimmune disease diet. And you know what? I tried it. I took some stuff from it. Mm-hmm. That works for me.
Perfect.
Because honestly, I think these forums forget that everybody's body
is different.
Is different. Yep. And we all have different parts. You know, my sister's like, you need to go straight on a dark shade diet. You got to take all the dark shades out. And I'm like, well, then there's nothing that I like to eat.
I love it.
But I did give it a try. It didn't work for me.
And you have to find what works for you. You know, I like the Mediterranean diet better because I think it's more realistic. I just think it's more realistic.
I love it all. I love it all, you know, and I have, again, my husband is wonderful. I can say to him, hey, listen, you know, I found this recipe. You like to cook. Can you make this? It seems like something that would be good for me. Mm-hmm. And he'll do that. And I'm like, oh, this was really good. Let's add this to our rotation. Yeah. Because as people that have a disease, we like to keep everything very simple. Mm-hmm. And then it becomes boring. And we forget that, ugh, I don't want this anymore. Life sucks. And we get into this rut. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's try this. Let's try something new that works in my wheelhouse, you know? And mm-hmm. that's important. I don't see that kind of advice in these Facebook groups or these, you know, I didn't really go to see support groups in that aspect, but mm-hmm. you know, it's, I think there's a place for them. I think it's a place for when you first get diagnosed to see that you're not alone.
Yeah. Yes. And sometimes people do know how to be on the boards and helping people. And sometimes it's just literally, you know, you can have a heart and just send a hug or, you know, or send a like, because people just like to be acknowledged that you read their story. All right.
Exactly. And I do that. I mean, a lot of times, you know,
I do that too.
I do a lot of, you know, it's great that you're getting all this advice, but remember mm-hmm. that our bodies are different. Mm-hmm. We're all different. And what worked for one person may be your nightmare.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and
This is such a great interview. I am so glad. I'm going to have you back. We're going to talk about more life coaching and emotions and stuff. I would love to explore that more with you because, you know, this is a show about chronic conditions and emotions with chronic mm-hmm. conditions are a big part.
I think feeling your feelings.
Yep.
That's a broad thing to talk about, but I mean, you could bring it right down to how we can make it an asset.
Yeah. And, you know, mental health is important. We have busier lives, crazier lives as time goes on. Mm-hmm. And you want to have the best life that you can. You really do.
And, you know, navigating it mm-hmm. on the seat of your pants usually doesn't have a
fly good, by the seat of your pants.
it doesn't, you know, sometimes doesn't work out well. You know, we live and we learn, but, when we allow others to come into our lives that have had the path that we both have. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you have MS, I have rheumatoid arthritis. We are still on the same path of wellness and living life in our potential.
Yes. So how can people get a hold of you?
Well, I have a website that you can get on. That would be lifecoachingforchange.com.
Love that.
I guess because I believe change is inevitable, even when we fight it.
Yeah.
Life coaching for change. I have an Instagram account also, which is I could send you all that privately.
Yep.
And I also have a Facebook group. And if you want to be part of my private group, I have now just started Autoimmune with Anne Marie, and we talk all things.
I love it.
Autoimmune. And that's more of allowing people's feelings to be heard.
I love that.
And fears. But, you know, if you go on my website, I have, you can contact me. We can set up a call and we can just get to know each other and see where you're at.
And if it's a good fit.
Right. You know, because everybody is not a match.
No. But you know what? This is why we're here. We know that as coaches, everybody's looking for that good fit. We don't, our feelings aren't hurt. We're fine. You have to have lots of room around what you want to work with people. So
on that note, best is that
yes.
we know
yes.
other people we can refer them to.
Absolutely.
Which would be a better fit. You know, yep. Like for me, I'm all about the thoughts and mindset.
Yep.
And you're about wellness and getting the right diet and figuring it all out.
Yep.
So, you know, that's where we are a complement to each other, because
exactly
that's what makes, you know, our journeys different, but the same. Because we all want the same outcome of living a life that we choose.
Yes. And on that note, I'll see you next week with Wellness Learning Curves 2.0 on Radio 360 Talk Radio for Women. Remember, empower someone today. It's incredible to be a person that can help someone see their own shining light. Thanks, Anne-Marie.
Thank you, Michelle. It's been great.